We'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which this project is created, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We would also like to pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Settle down and gather round for another tale. In the world of Nuwa, where time has carved and cultivated a magical utopia of wonder, a small group of adventurers unlock the deep mysteries of the land, its people, and themselves. Welcome to the Down Under Dungeon podcast.
Dear Susanna, it's the 14th of summer, nearly a month from when I first left, and there's a lot that's happened. Since my departure from Hermitage, I think what I've missed the most is music. There's plenty of people here on the caravan who can carry a tune, but it's not the same. Every day I question the decisions I made in my life, my responsibilities, all the while endlessly missing you. Anyway, enough with all that. There's plenty I've been up to. There's a couple curious folks who've made their way onto the caravan the last few weeks. There's a colossal, I want to say, fearbog druid. He's sort of teamed up with a fey folk, kind of skittish like a dragonfly. Very magi science, whatchamacallit. Oh, and also a tiefling in fancy armor. She doesn't say much, but I have a feeling there's something going on there. I put my money on the Priory of Sky having something to do with it. We're definitely not missing out on company here, though, which is not always for the best. Your typical high elven peacock has graced us with his presence. He's been driving me up the damn wall. He was distracting some kids, but torqued down to the fearbulg really quite cold-like, and you know me, I can't stand someone who thinks they're better than the rest. Did, maybe, get myself in too deep on that one, but I don't have your wise words behind me anymore, so you can't really blame me, can you? The whole argument drew the attention of the tiefling woman, and soon there was a whole group of us up and involved in the sitch. But the fearbog stepped in, casting some flowers around, and then some more fireworks popped up, so the kids got distracted again. Thank goodness. The curious crew, who introduced themselves to me as Lysandra, the tiefling, Quig, the fairy, and Fang, the fearbog, sure had some rockets in their pockets for what they're fiending to do. Quig was traveling for some kind of magic investigation, bloody wizards in their studies. Fang's on a quest to spread the message about some long-lost fire, and Lysandra's out spreading the word of Kastar, Lord of Storms and Navigation and such. She reminds me a little of when I first started out, which kind of scares me, honestly. But for all of them, it seems to be their first proper time out in the world. They'll feel a little fresh, too shaped by their homes, but I can't speak in that regard at all. But I know I get attached too fast, you always told me that, but they are fun to mess with, the poor things. I joked about my age to Fang and he got all nervous. End of the day eventually came and we started to slow down and set up camp. People started to congregate near the fire, and as everyone disembarked, I thought I may as well pop over to see what the mantelopes really looked like. Happened to bump into the intimidating-looking orc traveling with us, and she seemed a hell of a lot happier to be out of that cramped caravan. We bonded over geriatric business, and I got their name, Garak. They seem lovely, and we may or may not have concocted a plan to free the mantelopes when we get where we're going. It's nice to share a moment with someone who's been around enough to see the world in a similar way. It's a quiet moment as I'm sitting here, planning this out in my head. The sun's setting, it's peaceful. I think I feel okay about where I'm headed. And, of course, as soon as I feel at peace, everything goes to shit. All my love, Louie.
Okay, gang, let's roll initiative and tell me what you got.
Okay.
I just like this.
21.
Nice.
That's right.
I got a 12.
12.
I got an 8.
3.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Oh,
3.
Okay. I'm up first to act. You see, who's closest to the fire again? It's Quig and Fang.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Quig and Fang. Immediately you hear kind of like the inhale breath and gasp from Lady Louie, and as you turn to look at Garug, who's kind of like standing in disbelief and looking down as the blood kind of like starts to like percolate from their like torso, and they kind of look up and give like a half scared, half surprised look, and for you two, immediately the campfire goes out. And a big swirling mass appears in it as a dust method arrives.
What?
You see, it immediately begins to cast a spell, and you see that several of the refugees that are around the campfire drop unconscious. Queen, can you give me an arcana check if you'd like?
Oh my gosh.
That is a 25.
Yeah. You know the sleep spell when you've seen it.
Yeah.
And so even though you guys were in the radius of the spell, you are simply too strong to be affected by it. But you do see most of the refugees go unconscious and the rest start fleeing.
Thing would ask, Queen, are they all dead?
No, they're sleeping.
And just to prove the point, the method then, with that 25, I will also say that you notice that this dust method did not just appear naturally, that it was probably summoned.
Interesting.
Now, that
Where's
is
that
its turn. It is going, so it cast a spell, so that is the end of its turn. Next up, we have Lysandra.
Fantastic. I'm going to draw my sword and pull out my shield and run toward the dust method.
Yeah, you can give me another perception check if you'd like.
Cool. 18.
18. Okay, Lysandra, immediately you're switched on. You see at the far side of the camp, upon one boulder each, you see that there are two bandits, each with a crossbow in their hands. You see the method in the middle of the campsite, and that's about it.
Would you say that I'm within distance of the bandits to get over there?
Yeah, it would probably take a dash action to get over there.
I'll go to the method first.
Okay.
Then. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to take a swing at it.
Go for it.
That's a 25.
That hit.
Nice.
With 7 points of slashing damage as I kind of like swing into the side of it.
With your sword?
With my sword, yes.
Sweet. Yeah, you cut into it and you see the sand does start to part. You do hear that, like, the tinkling of, like, sand granules on steel as Lysandra leaps into action. But you do see that it is incorporeal, so your sword doesn't do too much damage to it, but you do definitely slash into it. That is Arduinavir's turn. You see this... A hoity-toity wizard from the other side of the cache kind of peeks his head out and is like, oh my god, what's happening? This is barbaric. What do we even do? What do you guys shout out to him?
We need some help out here.
Okay. You see he outstretches a hand and is going to cast his arcane burst at the method.
Ooh.
He is going to roll a 15. That hits. And so he is going to roll the damage. You see this, like, crackling arcane bolt shoots out from Arduinavir's hand and bursts into the method. And it is still, doesn't like it, but is still looking pretty unharmed. That is Arduinavir's turn. That is Gurug's turn. Gurug looks very badly injured, but you see their kind of like surprise turns into shock and then anger, and they're going to turn their head towards where the crossbows were firing, and they are going to full on just hurl their great axe at one of these crossbowmen.
<Go for it. laughs>
Nat 20.
Yep.
You see, oh my god. So wait, how much damage is that? So,
how do our crits work again? We're maxing the...
Max the damage of the dice and then roll again.
Oh, wow.
So you see me, Gurug just kind of like, you see like a switch kind of, and Lady Louie, you notice like any of that soft exterior before is just gone in half a millisecond, and she reaches over their head and pips their two-handed battle axe as fast as they can, and it full-on clocks one of the crossbowmen in the head so that's 14 points of damage.
Whoa.
And she full-on, you see the battle axe just cleaves through their head in one swift movement. They kind of like curse themselves and go, oh, I'm going to go get that. And then use the rest of their movement to sprint after it. Still arrows in their chest. But you see one of the bandits is completely down.
Don't run away, I can heal you.
It's the same thing.
Okay. Well, that's not your team. It's Sphinx's turn now, though.
Okay. I think instead I was going to heal them, but I think instead Feng is going to, as an action, use his once a day heroism spell. So a creature you touch is imbued with bravery. Until the spell ends, the creature is immune to being frightened and gains temporary hit points equal to your spell casting ability modifier at the start of each of their turns. When the spell ends, they lose those temporary hit points. So I'm going to gain 4 temporary hit points at the start of each of my turns. That is pretty much my turn. And just as a free action, calling out to everyone, stay safe, everyone. Don't get hurt. Just come over to me and I will heal you. Yes, sir.
And yeah, just crossbow bolts whizzing up. People screaming. Okay, that is Bang's turn. That is going to be the bandit that is dead and bloody on the ground. That is someone else's turn, which you have not seen yet. Quig, that is your turn.
What do you mean?
He takes into account all the crossbow bolts and, yeah, that there's a physical threat that's there, but he is, again, he's so unfamiliar with this type of thing that he immediately turns to the magical threat that he's like, this is something I might be able to handle. And he is going to cast Mind Sliver. Ooh. On the method.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, it makes a... makes an intelligence saving throw, and if it fails, it takes 1d6 damage, subtract 1d4 from its next saving throw.
Nice.
So if you can make that save.
So shock horror, not the most intelligent creation.
Love to hear it.
Yeah. So 15 on the intelligence.
That does pass.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah, damn.
Okay, with that mind sliver, even when you try, your magic is trying to, like, pierce this construct to, like, undermine it, you do get the sense that this is a concentration spell, even with that mind sliver.
Yeah, I would... If Quig thinks that it's been summoned, he would also look around
for another might perception
potentially
check.
Be the summoner. Would I have any idea how far away something like this could be cast from?
Ooh, I'm going to...
Did you roll a 25 arcana before?
Yeah, before... plus the mind simmer. Yeah, okay, give me another arcana check with advantage.
Yes, thank you. That's a nat 20.
Yeah.
You definitely feel a magical energy coming from behind mercantile goods and trade caravan, which is to the right of the circle, and you feel like a spell is being concentrated on behind there.
Okay, I will
cast your spell.
How far away am I?
15, 20 feet away.
Okay, I will get just to around the corner of there. I don't want to confront them this turn.
Okay.
So I would get just to there and see if I hear anything, and then that'll end my turn.
Okay. I'll roll a perception check for them.
Yep.
Nope. Does not see you. Okay. That is one of the other bandits. They're going to reload their crossbow and take another shot at Garug as they're running forward to retrieve their axe.
Oh, Garug.
No. That's a hit.
No.
That's another d8.
Why is it running?
That's another 7 points to Garug. The third crossbow bolt kind of like lands in their shoulder and they kind of like stagger to one knee as they pick up their great axe. They are not looking great.
Did you say before that Garug was a barbarian?
Was a barbarian. And they have monster stat blocks, not your stat blocks.
I hope.
They have reckless attack, though. Okay, so that is... you see... Let me roll stealth checks. Who's got a passive perception that's higher than 12?
13.
Feng does. 14.
You three realize... 2 more bandits have appeared, and while they're not coming for you, they are making a beeline to the food and water carriage in the caravan.
Okay.
So they use their full action to dash over there, and that is their turn.
Question. Meets it beats? Is that the rule that you're doing? Like, so passive perception, I've got a 12. Does that, like, pass? Like,
a higher than 12.
Okay, cool. Yeah, cool.
Sweet. That is their turn. And that is the Acolyte Yellen's turn, who rolled a zero on their initiative.
Beautiful.
Which makes sense. You see, the young cleric kind of like almost ephemerally reappears into the campfire and is just kind of like calmly taking the scene. She kind of looks towards the bandits, looks towards you guys, and then just kind of, what do you say to her? If anything.
There's a caster around here. Where I am, so I've revealed my position to whoever is there, and they probably know that I know what they're doing.
You see, Yellen kind of like stands there for a second and goes, well done. And she's going to cast Bless on Lady Louie and Lysandra.
Nice.
So you get a d4 to attack rolls and saving throws. Then we're going to go to Louie, Lady Louie.
Sweet. I'm going to, is Garong still within, like, my movement range?
Yeah, I would
say
so.
I am sprinting after them, casting Cure Wounds.
Okay. Burning out spells, the healing spell plot on an NPC.
I don't care.
Save them.
Get ready to die.
great. How does your magic manifest?
I think literally just as I'm sprinting, she's an old woman. So she is like, she's got her like her flute out, and so as she's like running, it's just like, and she's like attempting to run, and just attempts to like push it out as far as she can. It kind of like manifests in like a sort of like almost like pink, golden, purplish light that kind of like spirals out the end of her instrument towards Garong, just like focusing on where the arrows are buried into their skin.
Okay, can you read Cure Wounds for me and roll your healing?
Yes, so Cure Wounds is a creature you touch regains a number of hit points equal to 1d8 plus your spellcasting ability modifier. Fun fact, has no effect on undead undead or constructs. So I'm going to roll a d8. 8.
Eight.
11 points.
11.
Take them.
Okay. Sweet. Well done. All right. Now we're back up to the top of the order, and that is the dust method. The dust method is going to really... So around them is Quig, Fang, and Lysandra.
Yes.
So you see the dust method kind of breathes in. You see the sand from around its feet is sucked into its body, and it exhales its breath weapon. So the method exhales a 15-foot cone of blinding dust. Each creature in that area must succeed on a DC 10 dexterity saving throw or be blinded for 1 minute.
Okay, come on.
Please.
17.
I got a 16.
8.
Oh,
Lysandra.
So, Lysandra, you will get to roll at the end of your turn again to try and get the dust out of your eyes, but yeah, you see sand and grit is whipped up and you are blinded.
As the dust comes towards me, my wings suddenly go...
Yeah.
Thing is just covered in too much dust and dirt that it wouldn't even make a difference.
Sweet. So, that is its recharge. Okay, Lysandra. That is you. You are in the middle of the camp, and you have just been blinded.
Cool. I know that this thing is in front of me, though. I'm going to blindly just swing at it.
Yep, swing with disadvantage.
17.
Ooh, that does hit.
Yes.
Yes, amazing. For 11 points of slashing damage. Ooh, as I wildly swing at it.
Very nice.
Okay, yes. You have diminished the dust method significantly. Diminished, not destroyed.
Can I now try to get the...
Yeah, it doesn't cost any of your action economy. Scrap for it.
That's a dexterity save?
Yeah.
So are you blessed?
Yes.
I am. I haven't used it. Do I use it? Is it like
every time?
Oh, every time?
Yeah, so Bless is the D4 to every attack and save.
Fantastic. It's an 8 again.
Okay. They're still blinded.
With Bless? Oh no.
Sweet.
Guys, I can't see anything.
I don't think that matters. You still hit it, so keep going.
Oh, I did. Okay.
You see Arjuinavir, he's going to make an insight check to see how this battle is going. He makes an inside check. He kind of looks around and is like, I think you guys have pretty much got this. You're real good. And he casts invisibility on himself.
Oh, get back here. I will find you.
I will also find you. Not Fang, Daniel will find you.
Okay, he's good. That is Garug's turn. You see, they turn to you, Lady Louie, and give you a nod. Blood is still trickling down their mouth, but you've definitely stemmed most of the bleeding.
I'm just going to say before they run off, why are you throwing yourself into so much after that? Let me heal you before you run.
If I knew how to stop, do you think I would be here? And then she launches up onto the rock. She's going to make an athletics check to try and, like, haul her way up the rock to try and get this crossbowman. It's a natural one. You see, she is so fervent in trying to get up at this bandit that she's slipping on her own blood as it's, like, falling onto the rock in front of her.
You're hurting me, right?
That is Feng. That is your turn. You have the dust method in right in front of you. You also have Quig to the right pointing out the person who's holding concentration.
For sure. Feng would have heard Quig call out that there's someone behind the carriage and run over and see who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Probably wouldn't try to hide himself either. He'd just run straight out. Oh, okay. I go and deal with it.
You see this little bandit sore throat. It's kind of like pushed up behind one of the carriages trying to get cover. But you kind of loom around the corner. There's this huge, towering figure. What do you do?
I just probably hold out my staff. Sunstone's starting to, like, glisten a bit. What time of day is it?
Getting closer to night now.
Yeah, so it's probably reflecting some of the moonlight. And I'm going to cast Poison Spray. So you see this, like, noxious kind of poisonous gas exceed from the top of the staff. And as he does so, he probably says, I think you're doing something wrong, so I have been sent to take care of you. And they have to make a constitution saving throw.
Constitution save.
DC 14.
That's a 18 on the die.
Stop it.
Damn it. That is my action. Won't do anything else for bonus action. So, yeah, I think I'll leave my turn there.
Okay. That is now the bandit sorcerer's turn. It turns around to Feng and kind of cackles and says, you call that a spell? And they are going to cast a first level... Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong stash. They're going to cast a first level chromatic orb.
Oh, crap.
Okay, so it's only got a +2 to hit here. And it's an 8.
No, that doesn't hit. So what were you saying about doing a proper spell, you idiot?
You said, and this crackling blue lightning orb just misses the side of your face. You see it shoots off. That is his action. Can't do anything else like that. That's their turn. Quick.
Great. I also just step around the corner. I'm staying a little bit further away than Feng is. And I just flick my wand towards that, try and cast Mind Sliver at them.
Mind Sliver. What kind of save do they make?
That's
again?
An intelligence save. DC 14.
Oh, okay. No, they're pretty intelligent.
Don't say that.
Don't say that.
That's a fail. It's an 8.
So as I come around, my eyes again like light up with all the colors of magic, essentially, as I see, for him, this is just for Quig himself. He kind of sees, as his eyes light up, all the lines of magic, and part of that is like the soul and the mind kind of like interwoven, and he just touches that. He just pokes it with his wand, and it sends like a light along that line into his head.
Nice. So it's con save fail. How much damage?
That was D4. 1d6 damage. One psychic damage.
Okay, he's gonna roll concentration.
Also, he has to take 1d4 off of his concentration check because he failed the mind.
Oh, that's sick.
Is the next check or
it's fatal? Before it's the next saving throw he makes before the end of my next turn. So that would be this one.
Okay.
Nice.
It's just the next one he makes.
What a great combo.
Yeah, I just thought of it.
Nah, he still passes.
Damn.
Holds concentration on the dust method. That is the other crossbowman, who is very much frantic, looking down at this bloodied orc, trying to scramble up the rock towards them. He's going to take a shot against her. Oh my god, I crit again. Oh my god.
Stop it. I wish I had silvery barbs.
Okay.
Stop. Did you roll natural
damage? You get it, let's hear it.
You guys see the 16 points of...
No!
Grug had 15 HP.
No!
That would kill me outright. Just yes. Like it.
Same. Yeah,
we're level same. One.
Yeah, you do see Grug kind of like... the third arrow really does meet its mark in between Garug's eyes, and they fall lifeless.
Louis screams.
Yeah, make me a wisdom saving throw.
That's why I shouldn't get attached. It is 7.
Yeah. I think Louis's known loss in her life, but never so gratuitous and violent. And I guess, how are you feeling in this moment?
I think it's just, like, as she watches... yet another, like, another, like, a body fall in front of her. It's just kind of like, grief has been a part of her life for a very long time, but when it's close and personal, it's always the worst, and when it's violent, it's even harder, because she could do something about it, but she's never quick enough.
Brutal.
She's never been quick.
So sad.
Now it is Lady Louis, your turn.
Okay. How far am I? Because I would have like sprinted out to heal Grog that first time. Mm-hmm. How far am I from the center of everything right now?
If you wanted to get back on your feet and do something with your hands, you'd probably need to take dash action. But if you're going to cast a spell, that should be fine.
Yeah. Am I more than like? I know it's hard to kind of visualize, but like more than 60 feet away from everything?
No.
Okay, beautiful. Do I have light of sight on that caster?
No, I'm going to say no.
Then I'm going to just at the bandit that shot Garug, mm-hmm. I'm going to cast, where is it? I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers.
Dissonant Whispers. What kind of save?
It is a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
I should tell you guys what it does. You whisper a discordant melody that only one creature of your choice within range can hear, racking it with terrible pain. The target must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, it takes 3d6 psychic damage and must immediately use its reaction, if available, to move as far as its speed allows away from you.
What are you saying to them?
I'm just going to say, you do not kill innocents.
I think it falls.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Roll damage.
Yeah, it was a DC 13. Where are my dice? Please roll. 13.
13 points of damage?
Very nice.
What does it look like as you end this bandit?
Louis' magic, I think, is usually quite, like, whimsical and, like, beautiful and bright, because that's what she tries to present. But at this moment, there is, I think, just a flash of the... innate darkness within her as she just literally like mutters these words under her breath, and you watch as the like as the target's eyes like flash black as she just pushes this darkness into them.
Yeah, I'm gonna say with your magic it does the damage, but the fact that they are so scared of you makes them step back a bit, and they step off the back of the boulder, and you just hear a sickening crunch of bones. Ooh. On rock. As that bandit is new more.
Nice.
Okay, so that is Louis' turn. These are the other two bandits who have made their way to the food and water cart. Okay, sweet. That is Yellen's turn. She's still holding concentration on Bless, and she hasn't got the mind to do much else. So that is... back up to the top to the method. Now, the method is going to roll to see if they get their breath weapon back, which on 6 they do.
No.
The method is going to use their movement to come back to the sorcerer as they command the method backwards.
Oh, yeah. Action opportunity attack.
It's not moving away.
Oh.
It's only if it moves away from your threatened area do you get an opportunity attack. So it's moving into your threatened area and is going to exhale its breath again. I need another DC dex saving throw from Lysandra, Quig, Feng, and I'll also do one for the wizard.
DC what, sorry?
DC 10.
Oh.
Anyone get lower than a 10?
Yep.
Okay. So, Quig and Lysandra, again, you're already blinded, and then you're just more blinded. Not great. the good thing with that's all it can do for its round.
At least it's no damage.
Yeah, it's just blinded. Okay. So that is... Sorry, Lysandra, it's your turn now.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm going to, once again, swing blindly at it. That's 21 to hit. Ten, do I add bless to damage?
No.
Cool. Yep, the 10 slashing damage, wildly swinging at it again.
Okay.
Just die so I can be unblinded!
It's definitely a shred of the method that it used to be. that is... Arjunavir is still holding concentration on invisibility and is just chilling. That's Garrick. Garrick has died. Bang.
If I did something that was a 15-foot cone, would I hit both the sorcerer and the method?
If you want to hit both the sorcerer and the method...
Because I was at the sorcerer and the method has come over.
Yep. I'm going to say roll a luck check. If you get above a 10, you will hit one of your comrades. Below a 10, you'll hit one of your comrades if you're going for both.
That's a 5.
Okay, so you can choose. If you want to hit for both targets, one of these two will have to make the save.
Well, I can't do it then because it's too much damage. It'll kill one of them. So okay,
just the sorcerer?
No, because that changes my turn. So I'll just do poison spray at the sorcerer.
Okay.
Hold out the staff again and emit a noxious green gas, make a con save.
Nat 1.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that is 9 poison damage.
Ooh. He had 9 hit points.
Yes!
Okay. Thing, what does it look like?
I think this noxious gas is almost like alive in and of itself, and Thing is much more just like the conduit that kind of brings this magic and energy into the world as well, and is learning to harness it, learning to control it, and so he's just kind of painting the air with this noxious green gas that is like attacking this sorcerer through their nostrils, through their ears, and you probably see some blood start to come out from it as well.
Sweet. And as you see, as the sorcerer falls, so does the method. You're still blinded, though.
Because I meant to have made a save at the end.
Yes. You have to check that.
Can I do that now?
Yes.
And the 11?
That does just pass.
Yeah. No, so you're not blinded anymore, Lysandra?
So Lysandra's no longer blinded. Sorry, where was I?
It was the end of Fang's turn.
Okay, sweet. That is Quig. You are up.
I'm blinded. I kind of reach out, put my hand on Fang, just like pulling at his shirt. It's like, what happened?
Don't worry, I protect you, buddy.
What else is there?
I don't know. We got rid of everything here. I believe I heard Lady Louis scream from over there, so I assume something bad.
Over where?
Toward the left.
Okay.
To the left, to the left.
I'm gonna take out. With my offhand, I'm going to take out my dagger and I'll just run towards that one.
Roll me a d4.
Can I try and push him in the right
direction? Oh, no.
One. Yeah, you see, Queen just sprints off in the opposite direction.
No, I don't think you're listening. Maybe in the fake court, left and right are different, but you need to go the other left.
No, he's gone. He's already done.
Okay, bye, buddy.
He's gone.
In my turn, I'll... Yeah, I'll just make my save.
Actually, you run in the southerly direction. You bump into someone and you hear and then a crashing sound and then a sloshing sound, like water.
Do I see what he ran into?
No, you're concentrating on the sorcerer.
The sorcerer is gone.
Yeah, but that was your turn.
Right.
So
I think I would get so spooked by that, I would go to hit it with my dagger.
Okay, attack with a disadvantage.
That is a... What is my dagger attack line?
Yeah, wizard attacking with a dagger.
That is a +4. I got a 17.
To hit?
Yeah.
To hit?
Whoa.
Yeah, roll damage.
Yeah. Okay, minimum damage again. It's just a 3 points of piercing damage.
So,
yeah, you definitely hear a, oh, what the, and like a gruff sounding voice.
That's so funny. And I'm just quivering now.
Lady Louie, does he?
Can I make my save?
Oh, yeah.
See if I see what I've just attacked. Oh, okay, I make it. With a dirty 20.
You are aroused from your skin.
Blinking my eyes so hard.
You the first thing you see is the bloody dagger you're holding out as you've just stabbed it into one of the bandits that was trying to steal from the food and water cart, and you see that they literally triple your side bearing down at you.
That's so good.
But I have a moment of relief where I realize I didn't hit anyone that I didn't want to hit. No. Great. And then I've got my dagger still in him. I'm just looking up, and that's where I end.
It's like you're luring your arm.
Oh my God. Okay, would I have heard that commotion?
No. You're running back. You're
Fucking booking it. Yeah, if it's going to take me a dash action to get back, I'll just dash.
Yeah, what did you do last? Oh, you cast spell. Yeah, you said you dash back. Yeah, give us a perception check when you come back, at least.
16.
Yes, okay, so you survey the area. You see very bleary-eyed Lysandra stumbling around the middle of the camp. So much commotion and ruckus. There's a dead bandit behind one of the caravans. And yes, you see Quig flanked by two massive bandits. One's holding a massive barrel of water, and the other one's, sopping wet.
Okay, I'm kind of getting as close as I can to these guys. I'm just going to, reach out to these guys and be like, you're right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Fuck. And that's my turn.
Okay, yeah. Sweet. That is Lady Louie. That is the bandits around Queen.
Would I have a bonus action?
Yeah,
you do. Real quick, I'm going to give Bardic Inspiration to you.
Yeah. Well done.
It's just like a real quick, I just go, fuck. And you get like a little, like, it's just like a small little.
What?
Be inspired!
I command you to be inspired.
Sweet. That is the bandit's turn. It is the bandit holding the massive barrel of water. He's just going to hold the barrel out and drop it.
Going with that.
I need a dexterity saving throw.
Okay.
You have got
it. Yes. I got a 16.
Okay. I'm going to say it's a barrel, so it's not like you're going to take half damage from water from a barrel. You see they do drop the barrel on you, and then they are going to run. They're going to take a disengage action and start sprinting in the opposite direction. The bandit after them also is going to disengage.
I was about to destroy them with my opportunity attack, though, so...
They want something from this mission, so he's going to make an athletics check, which is 17 on the dice. Yeah, so they're going to grab a barrel of water and take off into the Badlands. That is Yellen's turn. You see they run straight past Yellen, and she's like serenely just like standing there. That is back up to the top of the order, back to Lysandra. What would you like to do? So everything is clear except for these two bandits that are making off with the water, and
is it necessary supplies, or are we okay?
You can roll an insight check.
Yeah, I might roll an insight check to see if they're necessary. Natural 20 with a no addition.
You definitely realize with that check that the water is not necessary for your survival. Like, you're going to end up in Laldrud tomorrow. But it is interesting to you that they went for the mercantile trades and kind of like unperishable goods. That they prioritize getting the water rather than the stuff. But they pose no threat to you at the moment, even though they have. I think it really is a gut decision after Lysandra now, if she feels that she needs to go after them or not.
I think Lysandra in this moment is sort of like, maybe, just maybe, they need it more than we do to survive. And therefore, she's not going to follow them.
Sweet. They get back down to you, Feng.
I feel awful because Feng would absolutely go after them. He's like, oh, people doing the wrong thing. Okay, I go and stop it. And he'll probably misstep. What?
Oh my god, they only moved their movement, so you're pretty much within range of them.
Yeah, so Misty Step, I like, it comes from the same magic as heroism, so I reckon, again, like, it's probably got to do with, like, his fur probably going a bit static, and probably, like, silver wisps of, like, this misty magic kind of come off him, and he, like, teleports 30 feet towards their direction, runs his 30 feet, and I'm at their location. Mm-hmm. Would it be an action to do, like, an insight or perception check to see if there's anything else they've stolen?
No, let's do that for free.
Awesome. That's a nat 20.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I feel bad because no, like you do say that they are basically just prioritizing water and food.
I think you might be right, Lysandra, but Ben's just going to go, it's wrong to steal things, so I've been sent to collect you. I'll give you one warning to come back and give this stuff.
Oh, that's what you're doing?
Yeah.
Make a persuasion or intimidation, whichever you prefer.
They're both plus one. I'll do... I think Feng is much more of a persuasion kind of guy. That's a 13.
13. Yep, okay. That is... Quig, you doing anything before we get on this?
I will just run towards them, these three. And I will, on the one that's carrying the water, I'm going to cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
Ooh.
And I project an image basically right in front of this bandit's face of just him slipping over and over again, and just like on repeat, just like a loop of that to try and just tap into his mind and make him laugh enough for him to. So it's a wisdom saving throw, and he would fall prone and become incapacitated and unable to stand up for the duration of the spell, which is 1 minute.
Okay. Ooh, a dirty 18 on the dice.
That will pass. Ouch. That is fine. That's in my turn.
Okay, sweet. That is Quig's turn. The two bandits, they kind of look at each other, look back at Fang, look at the water in their hands and kind of shrug and pull out their daggers. They're both going to make attacks. Oh, scimitars, not their daggers, sorry. And that's a 15 and a 16.
Both hit, my AP is 13.
Okay.
I'm concentrating on heroism, so just give me the damages separately if possible.
So the first one is 5 points of damage.
Okay.
So roll concentration.
That's a success with a 15.
Okay. And then another 4 points of damage.
Ouch. Let's see. That is another success with a 12.
Okay, sweet. And they're going to just run. You can take an opportunity swing with your staff.
Yeah, for sure. We'll take an opportunity attack with the sun staff. That is a 12.
Ooh, that just... Oh, wait, no, that is their AC.
Yes. Okay. I rolled a 1 on the DC.
Join me.
3 bludgeoning damage.
Oh, 3?
Yeah, probably to the one with the water.
Okay. Okay, that is... Yep, that's their turn. These guys are going to take dash actions. Are you guys still going to pursue them?
How would they be able to dash if they attacked
them? I'm just saying on the next round, these guys are going
to... Yes, I have a way to stop them.
Okay, sweet. Back up to Alessandra. She's disengaged.
I guess I'm...
Oh, sorry, Louie. Lady Louie.
Love forgetting me.
Sorry.
Love forgetting me. I'm just going to watch this scene kind of happen from afar, watch Feng get hit. I'm just going to turn to Lysandra and say, why are they... What? Like, those... Do they not see that the people are desperate?
They could be more desperate.
Yeah. I'm just going to, as a cantrip, cast message out at Feng. I'm just going to say, they're running. They're desperate. They took what they needed, and yes, they did it in a violent way, and we've suffered for it, but... I think that's probably the limited message. It has 25 words. Oh, does it? Hang on. Oh, no, that's sending. Message doesn't have a limit.
No.
You don't need to keep chasing them.
Thing would respond, I think, and just go, how can you assume that someone doesn't mean harm if you don't find out?
Only else I can only cast one spell a turn.
Okay. That is back down to... So Lysandra's out of combat.
I do like a perception check to see if there's anything happening, else, you know.
Yeah, but we can get to that. So Lysandra's out of combat. We then move down to thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it. I feel sorry to Lady Louie, but I'm going to cast Entangle. So 20-foot cube at both of them. They both make strength. I'll read it out. Grafting weeds and vines sprout from the ground in a 20-foot square, starting from a point within range, so 90-foot range. For the duration, these plants turn the ground in the area into difficult terrain. A creature in the area when you cast a spell must succeed on a strength saving throw or be restrained by the entangling plants until the spell ends. So they both have to make strength saving throws.
Okay, one passes, one fails. The one holding the water does pass.
Sweet. So it's still difficult terrain for a 20-foot cube.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who failed can't move at all. And I would probably just ask again, what do you need these for?
You ask that. They're probably like still a bit away from you. They are just desperate to escape. They are not interested in a conversation. They are interested in getting this water and getting the hell out of here.
How would they be away from me if we've both moved 30 feet?
I mean, like, they're moving away from you. Like, they're not, like... You're essentially chasing them casting spells, yeah? They're not going to stop, turn around and, you know, address you, but they don't respond to your message.
Okay.
Sweet. So where the fail one takes damage?
No, it's just restrained until the spell ends. I think they can repeat at the end of each of their turns.
Okay.
Let me just double check. A creature restrained by the plants can use its action to make a strength check against your spell save DC.
Okay, what's your spell save?
14.
14. Oops. That is a 14. So that is for the one carrying water. Oh, that's 19 on the dice for the other one. I'm so sorry.
Well, the one who's already succeeded didn't need to.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Well, they're both succeeded.
But the one who succeeded can't dash.
No. Okay, sweet. They are still desperately trying to move away. Actually...
Well, it seems like there's nothing I can do, so I'll just let them go.
No, because on the next turn, I need you to make a perception check.
17.
You see out of the gloom at Beng cast this magic with these like grasping vines as these guys attempt to escape back into the like rocky outcrops and the warren. And as these two bandits are like consumed by the entangle spell and are desperately like ripping at like vines to try and get away, again you hear... And two crossbow bolts pierce each of the bandits on the ground, and they are dead. And one of the barrel casts tips open, and the water spills onto the ground. And then you hear silence. And we are out of combat. So you see...
what happened?
I'd immediately run to the bodies and do like a medicine check. Are they dead?
Yeah. You can make a medicine check.
Can I help him with that? I don't have to.
You don't have proficiency in medicine?
That's another nat 20.
Oh my god. I mean, these guys are peppered with crossbow bolts. You could probably take the time to try and stabilize them, but it'll be like a working through the night thing to keep these guys alive. Like, they're mechanically dead, but gravely injured.
But if they're mechanically dead, there's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm. I will say with that medicine check, though, you do see that these... For being in the wastelands and living in the wastelands, you would expect them to look more emaciated and maybe sick than they are. They do seem to be in pretty good condition, apart from, you know, being dead.
I want to search their bodies. What do they have on them?
Yeah, give me an investigation check.
At the same time, I'd like to be looking at where those crossbow bolts...
Yeah, you can give a perception check.
I rolled a 4.
You find, you know, assorted bandit goods among them. You find the dagger that they were wielding. You see they've got just, like, basic armor on. You do see, however, an insignia that is on their torsos. It is... the insignia is of a bloodied paw print.
And I've never seen this.
You can make a history check with disadvantage.
It's a 7.
7? No. It doesn't seem familiar to you, but you can take it if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll rip it off.
Okay, you rip off the insignia. And is there anything else you want to do?
No, just turn to Quig and be like, hey, are you okay?
I got a 21 on my perception check.
Yeah, you definitely, you know the range of a crossbow is quite long, and you definitely think that there was probably a contingency plan set up if things were to go sour, and that maybe if these guys had gotten away quicker, that they probably weren't going to be shot at.
Does it seem like one thing on that as well? Does it seem like the bolts might have been fired because if they're one after the other by the same... from the same spot?
No, I'll say with that, it was different spots.
Okay.
That's what you get with the 21. You got dark vision? No.
No.
No. Yeah, I'll say, yeah, you're probably not able to right now. Things are definitely getting light. I guess you guys return back to the campsite.
I'm all right. It's all...
The Lady Louie.
Water.
What are we doing?
I'm just standing there, arms crossed. They come back in, and I'm just looking at the both of you.
Do we have something on our face?
Have you never been anywhere before?
No, actually, I kind of grew up in the Druid Circle my whole life. Why is that?
Have you ever seen people experience suffering?
Yeah, I've experienced quite a bit of it. Why is that?
Desperate people do desperate things, and I think sometimes when desperation is so overly used that people are willing to, for instance, kill members of their own society, maybe we should take a second before spending all our resources chasing rabbits that are already dead.
Make an insight check for me, Faye.
Dirty 20.
It occurs to you that the bandits weren't really attacking you guys. That, you know, they were more or less like, obviously they attacked Gurrug. They were the biggest, most threatening thing in the circle. But they only kept firing at them because she then charged. They didn't really target most of you guys, and if anything, they were going for the water. But you still also remember that they were looking very healthily and well-fed.
Yeah, Feng would kind of turn to Lady Louie and be like, so where are you getting that they were desperate? Where'd you find that piece of information?
It's an assumption, but it's guessing by actions.
So you're assuming that they were desperate for these things because they killed their own and because they killed one of ours or someone that was traveling in the same car. Why is my assumption wrong that they are up to no good because of those exact same reasons?
I'm not saying they're wrong.
I don't know why would bandits have a contingency to kill their own?
It just doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
Mm.
Hey, is anyone around? Can I see anyone listening to this conversation?
Me make perception checks. Like, you're desperate for water. Why would you then shoot the person with the water?
Mm.
My perception is a 10.
10. You see most of the refugees have kind of like started to make their way back to the campfire, but you can't see Galvin anywhere.
I would try to just like slyly show them all the insignia of the bloodied paw print and just be like, and I don't think desperate people carry around insignia like this. And then put it away.
You can all make history checks. Quig, obviously, disadvantage.
Yeah.
Actually, all of you disadvantage.
Okay. Oh.
I suppose, Quig, you spent most of your time in Bientiorum, which is the closest other major city to Lalordrud, and you've heard tales of the bandits along the road. You know that there are different kind of clans that are, like, jostling for power. So it wouldn't surprise you that this is some organized demi-crime syndicate that is, yes, opportunistic, but also careful not to leave loose ends. But you do not recognize the insignia by name.
Gotcha.
You pull out that insignia, show us all. Lily kind of looks at you and says, listen, I can admit when I'm wrong. Sure, they might have been up to something, and I admire your tenacity to go after it. I think that if we're going to continue traveling together, though, communication should be prioritized between all of us. If actions are happening and things and people are doing things, especially if you're sprinting off into the desert with little to no plan and no backup and no idea of what the people you're chasing are after, communication should be prioritized.
Maybe you can teach me how to do that funky voice in the head kind of thing.
I
can try to communicate better.
Yeah, I'd love to.
What voice?
I point at you, I cast a message. This one.
Sorry, is there some right. sort of...
This one.
Oh, right.
Gotta be efficient about these things.
Funny as.
Listen, when you've been around as long as I have, you don't fuck around.
You see Eljuinavir reappears out of their invisibility.
I got one off.
Walks up to Quig, claps him on the back, and says...
Don't touch.
Well, work done, T. We really, like, nailed that, didn't we? That was not good.
Were you this entire time?
Oh, you had a lot of sand in your eyes, dear. I don't think you saw.
Salty bitch.
What is your name again?
You see he rolls his eyes and, like... begins to walk on the
can
other
I,
side.
Can I minor illusion a dust method in front of his face?
Oh my god!
Well, when it came out of the fireplace, just poof in front of him.
Wisdom save. Got a nat 2.
Yeah.
Just like the most like comical, like ah! And he just kind of he casts invisibility on himself.
If that's happening, I want to cast thaumaturgy and make the ground tremor below him.
Yeah, immediately, like, fully freaked out, and yeah, you don't see him for the rest of the night.
Right.
You see Yellen very much, like, is keeping quiet to herself. She goes up and thanks Lady Louis and thanks Lysandra for their service, and she kind of, like, returns to a small little tent that she's made for herself. What else? Is anyone else doing anything? Garrug is still dead.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it without Fennel. Louis can't handle that. So yeah, Louis going to walk over to Lysandra and is going to just ask, I mean, we're kind of in conversation already, but ask, like, what's her? I don't even know her name. The one who cast the Bless spell?
Oh, that's Sister... That's Sister Yellen. She's... I believe a worshipper of Lady Persephone.
Interesting. Acolytes. Okay, fair enough.
And to be honest, quite intimidating. All the acolytes tend to intimidate me quite a bit.
Well, fair. Well, I mean, she may be physically intimidating. She didn't do nearly as much as you did, sweetheart.
Well,
give yourself some credit.
Thank you. So, are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we're good.
Where's the orc?
I'll deal with that in a second.
I'm here if you need me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. She hands you a hot candy.
Takes it.
It's nice, I promise. Unwrap it.
Eats it. It's quite hard.
Yeah, you suck it. You don't chew it, you break your teeth.
Oh, okay.
Just hear this crunching in the
Sweet. Is anyone else doing anything after the battle?
Well, just quickly coming back to what I was doing before the battle. Are the hard candies magic?
Oh my
god. I need to know.
Make an arcana check.
Well, do I get any aura from detect magic off of them?
No, I'm gonna say
I got a 23. Yeah.
Results inconclusive.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so under. That's scarier. That's worse. I need to peel back the layers.
It's just such processed sugar.
I do want to try and see if we can find where Galvin is.
Yeah. You see, you can make a perception check if you want to try and see where Galvin is.
I would love to make a perception check. Where's my start? 19.
You don't see Galvin anywhere, but you do see the mantelopes are very, like, stressed and, like, kicking out and, like, straining against their restraints. But you can't see Galvin anywhere. I do think that section 19. Oh, that's so yeah, that sucks. No, you cannot see Galvin anywhere.
Am I still blessed?
A minute. A minute.
No.
Sorry.
I can give you a bardic.
I've already rolled it.
Yeah.
So this is what it looks like, gang. At least Garrug is gone and Galvin is missing. And there are still a bunch of refugees here trying to get to Lalo Druid. It depends on what you guys want to do, but I would suggest perhaps you figuring out what the plan is and getting yourselves to Lalo Druid or alternatives if you want to continue this. Does anyone want to do anything before we rest?
Yeah, Feng's got sounding a bit crazy. I think Feng's gonna run over because I'm assuming he also sees the mantelopes freaking out. He'll probably run over to the mantelopes, and I'm gonna cast speak with animals, so you gain the ability to comprehend and verbally communicate with beasts for the duration. The knowledge and awareness of many beasts is limited by their intelligence, but in a minimum, beasts can give you information about nearby locations and monsters, including whatever they can perceive or have perceived within the past day. So yeah, kind of just run over and try to, even if I have to make like an animal handling check, try to calm them down.
Yeah, make an animal handling check with advantage.
Awesome.
Using your abilities.
Thanks. Okay, so that 17 becomes a 21.
Ooh. You see, as soon as Feng outstretches his third hand and, like, touches one of the mantelopes, it immediately, like, relaxes under his touch. And you don't really hear it speaking, but you feel immense stress. You feel immense kind of panic. But in terms of, like, once you've soothed that and you're able to look forward, you can tell that these manta rays are from this general region, but they are greatly domesticated. Like, they've probably been grown up to be domesticated.
I'll probably ask them as well, like, once I've calmed them down, hey, did you see Galvin, the guy that was controlling you? What's the word?
Subjugating you?
Yeah.
For your free labor? No. You get the sense that they are also looking towards the outcropping where the arrow bolts came from.
I'll call everyone over. Like, I'll specifically try to just get Lysandra, Lady Louis, and Quig as I'm calming them down without getting anyone else's attention, if possible.
Yep. What do you say?
Oh, hey, everyone, come over here. I think I found something out.
Yeah, what is it?
I can talk to animals sometimes, and sometimes plants. It's honestly a bit of a gift if I don't say so myself. But they're pointing over in that direction, so I think we should go check it out.
What direction?
Towards the outcrops over there.
Is it the same outcropping where Gara was shot?
No, so it is. So you guys are within. It's like deeper into the geological formation where the bandits were taken out.
I know we might need to rest because I'm pretty hurt, but maybe we could just quickly go see and then come back if we need to. But up to everyone.
That sounds like a great idea. And Algy Winnevere reappears out of invisibility.
What happened
like,
to the rest of the night?
He turns out and was like, although, you guys go. We've got this. We can get these people into Laladrud for tomorrow, but I'm not coming with you and don't even bother asking.
I think you should come with us.
No chance.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
why would you appear if you didn't want to come?
No, I just came to, encourage you to
do
the right thing.
You have some incredibly useful skills in the invisibility. It could be very useful.
Yeah, but I'm really tired now.
You should do an investigation. You should go and look and then come back and tell us what you
find. The thing is, I'm kind of tired of this conversation already, so.
You inserted yourself.
Yeah, and that was a mistake.
We asked you to come over here.
Well, what do you mean? I paid my fare. I'm part of this caravan, didn't I? You guys can be really mean, you know that?
Jeremy is just dying.
I'm dying for that voice. That is awful.
It's
perfect, but I hate it so much.
I think that's why I'm fighting back.
Yeah, so I mean, like, me and, like, the cleric lady, we can totally, like, figure this stuff out. You guys should totally go and, like, figure that out. That'd be great.
It seems like the only thing you've got figured out is how to run away.
He rolls so high on his wisdom check, and you see a moment of, like, clarity, like, dawns over this high elven face, and he kind of thinks for a beating moment, and he's like, yeah, okay, you may be right, but look, I know that this city is the hottest shit that's come out in the last 6 to 12 months, and I also know that reputation probably means more than prowess around here, which is why I, obviously, am here, clout, but I'm just saying, if you guys get to the bottom of this, you might have some, and that would be nice for you, wouldn't it?
This character is dealing with real life psychic damage.
Okay, so here's the question I have for you. If we leave you in charge, how are you going to contact us if something happens and we're not here to help out?
You see, kind of thinks for a minute, turns to the supply caravan and kind of starts casting a spell over it. You see, after a couple of minutes, he goes into the back, ruffles around, and he hands you what appears to be a small inscribed stone. And he says, yeah, this is an indicator stone. It's pretty, like, low-level magic. I don't want to confuse you or anything, sweetheart, but that will glow red once I've completed the task I've assigned and put into the stone. So he leans forward, and the most patronizing voice ever speaks into the stone. Yeah, just turn on when I deliver these dirty refugees.
I want to attack.
Guys, he's on his own. We can get him.
Sandra goes to lift her hand to slap him and just stops herself.
Can I take my staff off my back and just whack his ankle?
Yeah. Yeah, do it. Make a melee attack.
Thanks. Natural 20.
You guys see as he's like condescending Lady Louie, like, it's like the Cat in the Hat meme with the baseball bat.
She just, like, fully, like, kind of sneakily just, like, takes it off her shoulders, like, slides it down, just, like, looks at all of you, winks, and just, like, fully whacks them in the ankle.
Lady Louie is summoning just the most angry grandma strength. Algernon's ankle is shattered. And he just falls to the ground, screaming and writhing in agony.
She wasn't trying to break his ankle, but I'm just going to look at him.
A crit's a crit.
I'm just going to look at him, kind of like kneel down as I like strap his ankle up. And I'm just going to be like, now, kiddo, that's on me. I went a bit too hard. I apologize.
Still screaming.
Be nice.
Still screaming.
I'm going to cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
Oh my gosh.
It's not going to do anything except for change the laugh, the screaming to laughing.
Yeah,
she's already prone.
Can you make a deception check with disadvantage? Okay.
At the same time, can I, if it's possible, make an insight check? Was he trying to get rid of us?
Oh. Yeah, can you make an insight check?
I rolled awfully on that deception. I got a 4.
Okay.
Insight would be a 12.
This man is just trying to get to Lal Udrud and sees you guys as ruckus and rumble and that they're a day away and so they can kill two birds with one stone, essentially.
Okay.
They're not necessarily trying to get rid of you for nefarious purposes, but you know, you've been bugging them in the caravan for a couple of days. Jeremy, with that atrocious stealth check, and you see Yellen reappears from her tent and walks up as you guys what appears to be torturing this poor high elven man on the ground.
Was Sandra just standing there like
with the holding the stone hand. You see
Yellen rubbing his ankle.
Yeah. While he's laughing, mind you. And you see Yellen kind of like shoots a look at Lysandra and kind of gives her eyes as if to say, what are you doing? And are you like shocked that you are allowing people to be treated like this? In the presence of a sister of the church.
I think she just drops the stone and immediately, like, gets down and starts trying to help strap up his ankle and, like, get him to stop laughing.
After the spell wears out, Alduinavir passes out just from the sheer extraneous nature of
it. Success.
You see Yellen kind of walks over and says, I think that's enough magic for one night, everyone, yes?
Yeah.
So, who are you?
My name is Sister Yellen of the Priory of Sky. Is anyone in need of assistance?
Yeah, this guy seems to view pretty poorly on everyone here and called them pretty derogatory terms, so maybe that's something we should use some magic for.
And he was trying to steal food earlier.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he was in cahoots with the bandits or something.
Oh, that's what they were doing. They were stealing as well.
Yeah, seem to have the same goal. Pretty fishy, if you ask me.
Uh-huh.
You see she looks at Alduinavir and kind of sighs, and she says, don't worry about him. He's harmless. I mean, wizards will be wizards. And you see she looks at you and says, you know exactly what I mean. She says, I overheard his yells before you, started torturing and then tickling him. I'm not sure what happened there, but he does have a point. If you guys come in tomorrow into the city, you'll just be another one of the thousand faceless people there. But, you know, with power comes influence. I should know. I am one of her gifted. And so, I don't know, maybe if you can get to the bottom of this, it might help things out. Otherwise, you're going to be going in there. There's a very little fish in a big pond. Do you have any contacts in Lal Udrud?
Oh.
Would I?
You presume some of your bards maybe have ended up there, but you have no definitive contact there.
Thing does.
Yeah. Do you respond when she asks that?
No, I don't. Thing is probably feeling a bit jarred for the first time in a long time. Like, he tried so hard to fit into the druid circle because it's all he ever knew. And, like, it was kind of free-for-all as long as you were operating under the teachings of the druid circle. You know, you were not allowing nature to fall into disarray, you know, uprooting evil, uprooting corruption and stuff. And there's been so much of this, like, kind of... you know, social warfare and like righteousness in terms of how are people acting and, you know, are you doing the right thing? So he's probably just like, oh, I don't want to get myself in trouble anymore. So I think I just need to learn to keep my mouth shut.
You see as Yellen dispenses the crowd and kind of begins to go around to the refugees and calm the children and things like that. You all maybe do one more perimeter check just to make sure things are safe. And then bed down for the night to make your decision in the morning. And that's where we'll end our session.
Ooh, yeah.
Decision.
Intense. I was only trying to just whack him on the ankle.
I know, but then you critted.
Full shattered his ankle.
They said this is his ankle and not his head.
That's scary.
I was so close.
You're a scary person.
Thank you.
I was so close to burning hands.
Yeah.
All right, gang, that's it for our session. As always, any shameless plugs? If not, I've got one for this week. I've done a lot of research for this campaign, but one creator that I've been using a lot has a YouTube channel that really explores like the antiquity of like old gods. Less so much like what are the cool things that gods do, but more so the fact of like how different imaginations of gods have, you know, perpetuated different religions over time. And so the channel is called Esoterica on YouTube. Definitely check that out if that kind of stuff interests you. But yeah, that's my shout out plug for the week.
Cool.
Nice.
And we will see everyone next week.
See you then.
See you next week.
Bye. Yeah.